Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. This is Tom from the Sky Family. We're glad you could join us today. We are nearing the end of our study of the Gospel of Matthew, a book which I truly encourage each one to read for themselves. So many misconceptions will be cleared up as you read the Gospels for yourself, and Matthew is particularly clear. Please do not be deceived by any modern teaching that says, oh, the Gospel of Matthew was written for the Jews. If you're not Jewish, it doesn't really apply to you. That is nonsense. The Gospel of Matthew is for all of us. It is the clear, definitive teachings of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is full of inspiration and will set our feet on the firm, hard path. So let us continue today as we read the chapter about Jesus's condemnation. As we study the Bible, we see that in many places, things which have been prescribed in the Old Testament law have their New Testament fulfillment in Jesus. One very obvious example that we all know is the Passover lamb prescribed by Moses was just a foreshadow of the true Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, and with his blood on the doorposts of our heart, it truly causes God's judgment to pass over us. So the Passover lamb was a foreshadow of Christ, the true Lamb of God, coming. Now in Matthew chapter 27, we see another marvelous example of the Old Testament being fulfilled in the New. Barabbas is taken before the people and freed. This is an amazing thing and has significance that escapes most people. If we turn back to Leviticus 16, we find a fascinating ceremony prescribed by God for the priest to perform. Two goats were chosen by the priest. One was to be a scapegoat, and one was to be chosen of the Lord, the goat of sacrifice. They took the goats, and by lot, one was chosen to be the scapegoat, and one was chosen to be the sacrifice. The one chosen as the scapegoat was then released into the wilderness. In some translations, it says the wilderness of sin. The other was put to death as a sacrifice that atoned for the sins of the people. Now we see this ceremony graphically acted out. As Jesus stood before Pilate, we see he was not alone. There was another. There was a convicted criminal named Barabbas standing next to him. And by the seeming whim of the people, or the lot, one was chosen to be released and one was chosen to be crucified. The killer was released and the innocent was condemned. Barabbas sighed with unspeakable relief at being chosen to be released. We can only imagine. But that was only looking with the natural eye. Through the eyes of God, he was the condemned one. He was the unfortunate one because the scapegoat took the sins of the people and was released into the wilderness of sin. The sins went ceremonially onto the scapegoat. That might not mean anything to you right off, but it means everything. It means that those who are the scapegoat are allowed to go on their own way undisturbed. All the sins are put on them, and they are sent out to live their lives in unrepentant sin. They are the scapegoat because their sins are not forgiven, and they are given over to sin, and that makes them very unfortunate. But in God's amazing wisdom and economy, that scapegoat is glad to be the scapegoat. To them, it looks like being the scapegoat, the one who gets away with it. They are as relieved as Barabbas was relieved that day, and they would never want to trade places with the one who was chosen to be sacrificed. In his mind, Barabbas was the lucky one. But those who are the scapegoat, who are allowed to sin seemingly without punishment and without restraint, they are to be pitied above all men. And at the same time, they feel like they're the fortunate ones. In our society, there are those who are given over to sin And the greatest curse that can fall on a human is to be allowed to sin without restraint. That is the most dreadful punishment there is, to be allowed to sin without running into the hand of God. This is real judgment. We see in society that there are those who sin freely and hugely. One of the earliest rock bands is still in existence, and they have been allowed to sin openly and to blaspheme God with seeming impunity. It doesn't seem like they're ever punished. And they've been blaspheming God for 50 years with no visible retribution. They are the most to be pitied. They have become, in many ways, the scapegoat of our entire generation. They have been allowed to sin completely, and they don't know that the sins of the whole generation have been heaped on them, and they will bear the punishment for the sins of a whole generation for eternity. Then, rather than having the fame that they so desired, all those that they have misled into hell will hate and despise them. That is the eternity they have to look forward to. Conversely, the one that is chosen to be the sacrifice, that is the blessed one. He is the chosen of God. So, those who have been caught up short, caught in their sins, reprimanded by God, we who have been disciplined by God, we are the blessed ones. We are actually chosen. We are not blessed by the world's standards. In the world's eyes, many who earnestly seek God are destitute of material comforts and pleasures and passions. We are most cursed to their understanding. There are many who don't know how we can live as Christians because we have nothing that they deem to be of value or fun. So we are despised by the world, but we are blessed of God. Hear this. We are the chosen of God because He has not let us go our own way or to have our own course. He has course corrected us, even though at times He has to use a strong hand. The more the discipline, the more we know we are chosen of God. We are the sacrificed one, the one that belongs to Him. So we are sacrificed to God, but it is a small price to pay for not being a scapegoat, which is allowed to live in sin without correction. Isn't it amazing to understand that because we are disciplined, it shows we are the blessed ones, and those who prosper around us are the cursed ones? The hand of God's mercy has been removed, and they are allowed to go into the wilderness of sin and stay there. That is, the wilderness of their own way without being corrected. So the fulfillment of this ceremony in the trial before Pilate is amazing. If you go back to the Levitical laws and you read chapter 16, you will be shocked that you are reading about Jesus and Barabbas. So much was being fulfilled that day as they stood before the people. Now, the significance of this lesson cannot be overstated. Today, we have invented a new gospel, a twisted gospel, where we attribute us doing well in the world to the favor of God. And that if we are doing well in the world, prospering and succeeding in all of our worldly endeavors, it is a sign of God's great pleasure in us. Conversely, if we are experiencing financial disasters, downturns, and troubles of all sorts, we are either out of God's will or we are out of His favor. We have invented this gospel. It is a product of greedy teachers who are enriching themselves at the expense of the flock. The end result of this teaching is that when bad things happen to good people, they doubt the love of God and they wonder what they've done wrong and they end up in despair. This is the result of years of falsely representing the word of God. The true gospel shows us that God disciplines those whom he loves. The true gospel states that you will be hated by all on account of your stand for Christ. The real Bible clearly states, "Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various difficulties, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." This is the same gospel you will find in all the old hymn books. You know, the ones that aren't very popular today. This is the gospel that everyone knew and understood only a few years ago. It was common knowledge that there was a cost of following Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me. If anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow me. This was the gospel, and this is still the gospel. But now, just a few years later, what I'm saying is a foreign language to us. In fact, there's some who are listening today who have never heard the old gospel. The new cushy gospel of a nice, easy, wide way that requires nothing of us is so pervasive that there are many who have never heard anything else. They have proclaimed that the broad way is the way of life, and they scoff at those who say that we must sell all to obtain the pearl of great price. Do you see why we're always driving people back to the Gospels? They are the forgotten book. It is the power of the gospel that will change our lives. But we see from this passage and from Leviticus 16, it is the scapegoat that is left alone to live at peace in the world, but the chosen one of God will be crucified. So when you are seeking the Lord earnestly, and you are then blasted with all sorts of difficulties, it is a sign not that you have displeased the Lord, but that you are truly his beloved and his chosen. Do you know why bad things happen to good people? Simple. God is trying to pull off our fingers that are tightly clutched onto the world. He's trying to get us to grab onto Jesus with both hands. 1 John says, "Love not the world nor the things of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you." God is trying to get us to let go of the world and the love of the world so that when the world passes away, we won't pass with it. He's trying to make you safe from the coming destruction by getting your foundation built firmly on him. That's why all the bad things happen to those who are really seeking God. He's trying to make them safe. Those who have made their security to be their investments will find that their house collapses. I don't care how clever you think you are or how savvy you are about investing, your house will fall. But those built on the rock of Christ will stand firm forever. Let go of the world. Give God his way. It's you he is concerned about. For those whose joys and pleasures and comforts are in this world, you will be very shortly without any comfort. All the things that you have looked to for happiness are about to dissolve in your hand. Take that hand which is now free and grab onto Jesus. God has called you to be the chosen of the Lord, and the chosen of the Lord is sacrificed on the altar. And we're going to talk about that in depth in the next lesson. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we see that if we are chosen and beloved of you, that you will course correct us, even with a firm hand, and you allow many difficulties to come in order to get us to let go of the world and to take hold of you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would do a reviving work in all of us, that right now, while we have time to prepare, we will prepare our hearts by taking a firm stand on the word of God, that we will leave the world behind and seek after you with all of our heart. I pray, oh God, you would do a reviving work in us and that others would see our example and follow along with us. Lord, may revival begin with me today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please call us or email us with any comments or questions or any prayer needs so that we can join with you in prayer. We want to be in fellowship with you. Thank you for being part of this revival work. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website. Thank you.
Behold.